From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new report on the health impact of fracking-related pollution in the bodies of residents in western Pennsylvania is offering a sobering look at the extractive industry. Environmental Health News reporter Christina Marusik tested samples from three households in Washington County, Western Pennsylvania, whose homes are surrounded by fracking wells. And what she found was that people are being exposed to dangerous chemicals that impact their physical and mental health. Christina covers environmental health and justice issues with Environmental Health News, and she's the author of the new report called Fractured. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sonali. Great to be here.
So first, how serious an industry is fracking in Western Pennsylvania? For those of us who live outside Pennsylvania, we sort of have heard perhaps most recently about this phenomenon during the presidential election, when the issue of fracking in Pennsylvania suddenly became this election hot topic, primarily because Pennsylvania can be a swing state. So how prevalent an industry is it?
So Pennsylvania is the second largest producer of natural gas in the United States, second only to Texas. And Washington County, which you mentioned, where I did this testing, is one of the most heavily fracked counties in the state. So it's a huge industry here, as you can imagine.
So tell me about these three households whose family members you tested. Where do they live? Who are they? And you know, what sort of samples did you look at in assessing how they're impacted by this industry that they're surrounded by?
So we tested three households in Washington County, and we also tested an additional two households in Westmoreland County, which is a county outside of Pittsburgh that's slightly more urban and has significantly less fracking. It still has fracking wells, but the families in Washington County all live within 5 miles of multiple well pads and compressor stations and other industry infrastructure. And then those houses in Westmoreland County were at least 7 miles from the nearest well. So we wanted to take a look at families who lived a little closer, and then also a couple of families who lived a little further away from these operations. And we found these families through a community organization in Washington County called the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project that works with community members who live near fracking to help minimize their exposures and address health concerns related to the industry. So these families were families who had already been concerned about what the industry's impacts on their health might be, and in most cases had already been experiencing health symptoms for years that they thought might be related to the industry. So things like nosebleeds, migraines, rashes.
And you tested children in these households too.
That's right. Every household in the study had at least one child. And that's really unique. There have only been a handful of studies that looked at, so we tested the air, we tested the water, and we tested urine samples to see what's inside of these people's bodies.
So the air and the water tests would presumably reveal what their environment is polluted by. The urine samples would reveal whether those pollutants had entered their bodies.
Correct. Yep. And there are only two other studies that have it's called biomonitoring, when you look for signs of environmental exposures in people's bodies by testing their urine samples related to fracking. So one was in Wyoming, one was in Canada, and neither of those studies included children. We tested a total of 20 people and 13 of them were kids. So our study is really unique in that way.
So when you tell me about the way in which the actual sampling and the scientific analysis was done, where was the analysis done? You know, I'm assuming that your methodology is rigorous enough to stand up to scientific scrutiny.
Yeah, so we really wanted to make sure that the science on this was solid. Environmental Health News was founded by a scientist with the goal of helping to increase literacy around science and environmental health. but we're editorially independent. But because we were founded by a scientist, we have lots of connections with the scientific world. So I consulted with a number of researchers who have expertise in this to design a study protocol and make sure that I was, I had to be really careful when collecting the samples, you know, wearing gloves, making sure not to wear any personal care products that could contribute to contaminating the samples, you know, follow very specific steps when collecting the urine samples, the air samples, and the water samples. And then those were tested by researchers at the University of Missouri who used cutting edge analysis techniques to look at a list of 40 chemicals, which we generated by looking at previous studies to see what had been detected in air monitoring studies across the country as being emitted from fracking wells.
So tell me about the results and how they square with the experiences of the people who you took the samples from and what they feel that they've been going through in terms of health impacts.
So we collected three urine samples from each person to get a clearer view of their exposures over time. I should mention that we did all of this sampling in the summer of 2019, so it was pre-COVID. And in many of those urine samples, we found a long list of those harmful chemicals we tested for that we know are typically emitted from fracking wells. Some chemical exposures aren't detectable in urine if the body has already processed them, broken them down. So we also looked for biomarkers for harmful chemicals, which is the end product that's in your body after your body breaks a chemical down. And it's important to note that a lot of these same chemicals are found in places other than just fracking emissions. So they might be in cigarette smoke or paints or varnishes or vehicle exhaust, industrial pollution. So as a result, everyone has some of these chemicals in their body, which is why we compared the levels of these biomarkers that we looked for against national averages. So the CDC has published data on the levels of some of these same biomarkers in the average American through something called the National Health and Nutrition Survey. And comparing our numbers against those, we found that the families we tested who live near fracking wells had significantly higher than average levels to a lot of these compounds. So for example, all 20 people in the study exceeded not only the average, but also the 95th percentile, which is the level that 95% of Americans fall below for mandelic acid, which is a biomarker for ethylbenzene and styrene.
Now, this ethylbenzene, that particular chemical you mentioned is one of the byproducts from fracking. I mean, there's no other way to sort of trace that, I imagine. The most obvious source of that would be the fracking wells.
Right. So as I mentioned, ethylbenzene and styrene are also used, can be found in some industrial emissions. They might be found in secondhand cigarette smoke. But again, we expect to see, because of that, because they're kind of all over the place, we expect that there will be some in everyone's body, which is again why we made that comparison. So exposure to ethylbenzene and styrene is linked to skin, lung, and eye irritation. It's also linked to central nervous system damage, liver and kidney damage, and increased cancer risk. And in another example, one 9-year-old boy in the study had a level of piperic acid in his urine that was more than 91 times as high as the U.S. median and more than 5 times as high as the U.S. 95th percentile. And piperic acid is a biomarker for toluene, which is linked to skin, eye, and respiratory irritation, infertility, and reproductive harm, and damage to the nervous system, liver, and kidneys. So again, we can't say with 100% certainty that these exposures came from fracking, but we did keep careful records of what everyone in the study did leading up to our sample collection. So we made sure they weren't sitting in traffic for hours and hours, or there were no smokers included in the study. So we made sure no one was being exposed to tobacco products, you know, and we kind of did our best to, if we think there might be other exposures that could have played a role, I mentioned that in the reporting.
I want to play for our audience some video that you gathered as part of your report, Fractured, from the people whose samples you collected and their reactions to finding out just what was in their bodies.
You know, I kind of suspected that there would be some things. I can honestly tell you that I was a bit surprised how much. I mean, I knew, but I was like, wow. And then, and I guess that's because we're just completely, you know, it just completely encompasses us. It's at every angle. It's not like we can look to our right or left, like it's not there. And then just anywhere that they go, whether it's school or whatever, it's there too, so.
We take great pains to make sure we're not exposed to things, you know, and we're pretty aware of things that we should and should not be exposed to, and we're still being exposed to things. So what are people like that are not aware of these things being exposed to that they don't know? You know, I guess like just the overall ambient exposure to these chemicals is kind of shocking, you know, that our children especially are being exposed to this stuff.
And I didn't expect that it was going to go the way it did, where, you know, we had higher numbers of things you find in fracking where we don't live near fracking. Like, that's going to be what I'm going to be doing now, is trying to identify sources that might be exposing us to things. If you're living near an exposure, now you're not getting away from it at all. You're not leaving the house. You're not going to school.
And those are some of the voices of people from the three households that my guest, Christina Marusek, a reporter with Environmental Health News, tested for chemicals connected to the fracking industry. Now, Christina, these chemicals are clearly harmful. The impacts on them, especially in young children, can be quite serious. You mentioned some impacts to, say, the nervous system earlier on. What does this mean for these families? Who is responsible? I mean, I'm assuming the fracking industry is likely prepared for accusations that their industry is a very polluting industry.
So one of the challenges with this kind of research is that these chemicals are sort of so ubiquitous, as I mentioned earlier. So there have been biomonitoring studies that looked at things like flame retardant chemicals in people's bodies, for example. And those chemicals have a much narrower use. So it's much easier in those types of situations to say, this company put this chemical on this furniture and now it's in this child's body, so they should be held responsible. But with this list of chemicals we looked for, they have so many other uses that it's really difficult to prove in a court of law, for example, that, you know, someone's exposure to something like benzene or toluene came from exposure to fracking, because these chemicals are found elsewhere. And so that's typically been the industry's response. You know, we did our best, again, to account for any other possible sources of exposure in the people in our study, and note any activities they did that could have contributed. And it looks like that's a likely factor. But I also want to emphasize that this was a very small study. We tested 5 households, a total of 20 people. And so I think what really needs to happen next is that something similar needs to be done on a much larger scale, and ideally in places throughout the country, not just in Pennsylvania, so we can really get a better sense. You know, right now, these families that live near fracking kind of feel like guinea pigs, and they really, now more than ever, I think, after getting their test results, feel that they're owed answers, that, you know, why isn't the industry compelled to prove that it's safe, and why instead do we have to seek out this testing that's very difficult to find, very difficult to do, and prove that, you know, we're being exposed to these harmful chemicals where we live.
The area where these families live, you know, they're rural areas, they're very beautiful, scenic areas, and yet there are hundreds of these wells. How is the industry adhering to regulations? Because there are regulations on the books. Do they even follow those regulations, particularly when it comes to wastewater, which is completely polluted by the chemicals that are used when hydraulic fracturing, you know, basically this forcing of pressurized water mixed with chemicals is pumped into the ground. Then you have the wastewater. Is it stored properly? Are the regulations being followed?
So the answer to that question really kind of differs state to state. There have been concerns about water contamination since the fracking boom started about 12 years ago, and cases of water contamination from spilled wastewater that you mentioned that's we know is contaminated with a lot of these harmful chemicals, in addition to heavy metals and radioactive chemicals, has been documented in Pennsylvania, in Colorado, in Texas, I think in Wyoming. You know, a number of states have documented cases where there was a spill and they know that drinking water was contaminated. At this point, 12 years in, the industry has improved on that, I think. There are a lot of safety measures in place to try and make sure that water contamination doesn't happen. But obviously it's not perfect. There are accidents, there are spills. And in Pennsylvania, there's been an additional problem where fracking companies have sent that wastewater to just municipal sewage treatment plants, which don't have the capacity to remove things like radioactive chemicals and some of these other harmful chemicals that they otherwise wouldn't encounter. So we've had a number of instances documented here in the state where that water was just essentially pumped into rivers that provide drinking water to millions of people without being cleaned first. So there are ongoing issues with the disposal of that water. And again, it kind of differs state to state, but in just about every state where fracking happens, you can find instances of spills and contamination.
Christina, one of the reasons why your report is so significant is, as you pointed out earlier, almost nobody is actually checking to see if those chemicals that are being released by this industry is making its way into the bodies of people. And this seems to be sort of part and parcel of our, especially uniquely American economic system, where industries don't have to prove that their chemicals are harmless. In fact, it's incumbent on consumers, on residents, on ordinary people, on organizations and private interests to prove that they are being harmed before these chemicals and these companies are held accountable, the sort of opposite of the precautionary principle, right?
That's right. And that's true with kind of the way that America regulates chemicals in general, and that's true in the fracking industry, but that's true also in terms of what chemicals are allowed in our skincare products and our use of pesticides, that generally speaking, the industry, any industry can introduce new chemicals and they aren't necessarily tested or regulated. And then, you know, it takes years until people get sick and there are lawsuits and then activists make a big fuss about it. And eventually we have reform, which is the opposite of the way it works in the European Union, for example. So, it has been interesting. Some of the response from industry to my reporting has been, to say the study was too small to prove anything, which again, I've tried to be very upfront that this is a pilot study. And really what it shows is that we need more of this research. But it's frustrating then that industry, which claims repeatedly to care about these communities and be invested in these communities and want to take care of these communities, doesn't step up to offer to do this kind of testing to prove that, what they're doing is safe.
How do the families that you tested feel about the results? I mean, we heard, of course, their responses to it, but now that the dust has settled, do they feel that their elected officials have let them down? Do they feel that they need to organize to hold this industry accountable? Because anytime it's raised on a national scene, you hear, especially conservative supporters of these industries who are hell-bent on protecting fossil fuels, insist that these are job creators, that these are popular in the communities that they're based because they bring jobs, is what we're always told.
Yeah, so a lot of these families, as I mentioned, had been, I think I can say, safely say all five families that were in the study had been experiencing health issues on and off to varying degrees sort of since the fracking industry became their neighbor, and felt for a long time that that maybe these exposures could be hurting them. So they were certainly alarmed to get our test results. And we made sure to have a consulting physician available who went over their test results and could talk to them about it. And we referred them to counselors and mental health resources to make sure that, you know, they were able to sort of process this information, especially since I was delivering the results in the middle of a pandemic. So we did the testing before COVID, but when there's a pandemic and then you're getting this additional information that it looks like your family's been exposed to harmful chemicals, I think that's really unsettling. So we wanted to make sure that the families felt cared for and like they had access to the appropriate resources. But I think now that the dust has settled, I've heard from most of the families that they actually feel sort of empowered now that they have these results. You know, one of the moms who's featured in the first story, I think she was in the video you showed, Lois Bauer Bjornsen, she was already sort of organizing around fracking before we did the testing. And now when she's reaching out to her policymakers and lawmakers, she's sending her test results and saying, you know, this is real, this is happening to my family, and now we have proof. And I think it's made her feel like she has more tools to advocate for herself and her family and her community. So I hope that, yeah, I hope that ultimately the testing helps the families feel like they have better tools to be able to talk to their doctors and figure out how to minimize these exposures, and then also to be able to advocate for themselves and their health and their families.
Information is power. What about using this study in states like Texas, which is, as you said, the number one state for fracking? Do you hope that similar studies can be carried out in other parts of the country where fracking wells are common?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that'll be really important in terms of making this very small study that I did more powerful and have more of an impact. And I would be very happy to share everything, all the information I can about our methodology and our laboratory analysis and our findings with anyone who's interested in replicating the study somewhere else. Because I think I think I'd like to see something similar happen on a much larger scale.
Give out a website for Environmental Health News where people can find out more about your work as well as the study called Fractured.
Yeah, the study is a four-part series, and you can find all four parts at EHN, as in Environmental Health News, ehn.org/fractured. And
so we'll link to the report and your website as well. Good luck to you, Christina. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
My guest has been Christina Marusik, a reporter with Environmental Health News, covering the issues of environmental health and justice. And she's the author of the new report we've been discussing, Fractured, an investigation of fracking pollution in Western Pennsylvania. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.